The following presentation is brought to you by The Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride. Monarch Nation, welcome back. We are the Monarchists. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Aaron. How are we doing today, Aaron?
Much better than the Washington Commanders. My team sucks. I'm not going to say the word. Lily gave me some feedback. They suck real bad.
Hey, tank now. Get him a left tackle or a new receiver or something. Jaden Daniels needs some help. And this season might be that for him. But anyways, Justice is here again joining us. How are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. My team sucks too, the Cowboys. But you know, they like to win games and ruin their draft pick. You get your hope up, only to dash them at the last minute.
Guys, we can't talk about sucking without talking about the Raiders.
Raiders. I mean, is suck relative because they both suck bad.
You guys were in the conference championship last year, right?
Yeah, that's last year, man.
It matters in this context because the Raiders haven't been close to that level in decades. That's true.
Until last year, we were on even suck. But yes, you're right. Last year, it was like the banana in the tailpipe. And I thought the next decade, man, we are going to be good to go.
Yeah, sophomore slump. He'll get out of this. All right. So, we haven't talked about the Georgia State game yet. It's kind of one that we won, right? We took care of business. It was an ugly kind of first half.
Very ugly. 10 punts.
Yeah.
Was it that many?
Yes, 5 by each team.
Obviously, I don't know if we really need to break this game down. Old Dominion won. They took care of business. Seniors had a great senior day. We ran the ball down their throats.
Colton got over 1,000 yards.
Yeah. He did. And that will be the last time we see him in Old Dominion colors.
I don't know. Never say never. He could go somewhere and not do so great and come back. I mean, not likely.
Don't feed the internet, man. He gone.
He's definitely gone.
I was just saying, like, he goes to, I don't know, let's say he goes to Oklahoma and he stinks and he comes back. Not likely, but, you know.
Justice, do you know how many guys have transferred out and returned to Old Dominion?
Probably zero.
So, given that, I think we have a pretty good snapshot of his odds of coming back here.
Justice, I wouldn't bet your money. Happen. I wouldn't bet your money on that.
Well, I wouldn't bet money on it either. But, like, you know, like, I look at Corey Rucker, right? He leaves Arkansas State, goes to South Carolina, stinks, and comes back to Arkansas State. Not likely to your guys' point. It's not likely to happen.
All right. For everybody listening out there, if you think that Justice is right and that Colton might come back after sucking somewhere else, put it in the comments.
I am definitely not right. Like I said, the odds aren't good. I just said never say never.
I mean, I'm pretty confident never is the right word here.
I would bet never. You're right. I would, but...
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys have any closing thoughts on the Georgia State game?
No, you could sum it up in pretty much one sentence like you did. We ran all over them. We didn't throw for crap. We won the game. Devin Roche had awesome. Yeah, the defense played awesome. And Devin Roche made those two dudes bounce it to each other and ran it in. And we're 9-3 and going to a bowl game with a chance for 10 wins. Run on sentence, but that's pretty much it.
That Seth interception I thought was critical. That was really sweet. That kind of like turned the game.
I would add that it was kind of a sweet way for our final game this season to end behind this great O-line just abusing the defense. And Devin Roche really having maybe his best game we've ever seen from him. That juke touchdown, like, I don't know. He had some moves that we haven't seen from him. He put some dudes on skates, so – great to see, and it's a great precursor for next year because it looks like he's going to be the lead back heading into 2026.
If you guys haven't seen that play, I know obviously the two of you have, but if you're watching this and you haven't seen that play, just go over the YouTube shorts. You'll see it. This might not be the last one, but the next to last. It was a pretty sweet move.
Yep. All right. So since there's not much else to talk about with the Georgia State game, we can move on to talking about the season as a whole. Obviously, we can get to the bowl later, but for now, Old Dominion finishes the regular season 9-3. First, I want to hear your thoughts on how this team got here, and then we can move on to your favorite moments. So, Aaron?
A bit unconventionally. I think that they took a little bit of a, what is it, the great circle route, if you're into navigation, kind of the longest point to get to a spot. Those two games in the middle of the season, we talked about how critical those were and how the season kind of teetered on after the game at JMU and Marshall, and the team really rallied and just took that 1-0 mantra that Ricky always talks about and really went. We're not surprised at the record. I mean, if you go back to the first episode of the season, Vegas had us 5.5 wins, and we easily knew that we were going to do better than that. And the team obviously did. Team's much better than that. That's honestly, our record could be even better. Well, don't need to go into that. But I'm enjoying it, trying to live in the moment, not think about what could have been. There's enough of that on the internet, seeing all the what, you know, people are, there's some people who are upset. It's like, don't be upset. Just enjoy it. It's sports. I mean, this should be fun for all of us, you know? So I'm not surprised.
Justice, what do you think?
I mean, for me, it was really like, it was a total team effort. I feel like in the first half of the season, it was really like all about the offense, right? And then like after the JMU game, it was all about the defense. You know, so we saw both units kind of carry the team. And then we saw games where they both played phenomenal, right? Like you look at like the Virginia Tech game, for instance. But I mean, I was very impressed by the team effort, and like, especially specifically the defense, because if you had told us back in August that there'd be no Jason Henderson, no Mario Thompson, like, I think
no Koa,
right? No Koa. Most people would have been like, oh my God, we're in trouble, right? And like, you know, you had, you know, Jeremy Mack, Jackson Forrest, Seth, those guys all kind of stepped up and, you know, played extremely well. The defensive line like played really well. You know, Chris Trinidad, Ricardo, Lynch, Forbes, they all, I mean, that was, to me, that's really the story of this year, I think, is like, you kind of knew what you had in terms of Colton, right? There was question marks about receivers, I think, by other folks. I know, like, I think the three of us felt like receivers weren't a question mark. Like, we might not have known, like, who the stars were going to be, but we knew there was enough potential stars there that a couple of them were going to emerge. But for me, the defense is kind of the story of the year. They played lights out, you know, the last half of the year, man, and really, you know, kind of took some of the pressure off the offense.
I think this season is a story of how everybody outside of the program got it wrong, or almost everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody, whether it was the Fair Weather Fans podcast or whatever the hell those guys are called, that I remember them talking about how there is absolutely zero receivers.
Even worse, it wasn't just the receivers. They just said he has no talent around him. That includes zero. Running backs, O-line.
Everybody.
Yeah, zero talent. What I will say is whether, if you're an Old Dominion fan, however you feel about Ricky Ronnie and his staff, whether you like him as a coach, you don't like him as a coach, you think his personality, that he's, you know, too even keel, whatever it is, the one thing that you can bet on is that dude is going to tell you the truth. And when he says something, like, he was adamant that it was the best receiving core that he had since he had been here. Like, there was no ands, ifs, or buts about it. He was so adamant about that. And so I had to push the I believe button on that one. Yeah.
It was obvious to me in practice. I mean, I think I told Mike, I mean, I think we talked, I might have said it on this show too. I know I said it on my own show, but Like, I thought, like, this was the most talented team since, you know, you had Fulgham and those guys and Duhart and those guys, you know, at the NFL. So,
yeah, for me, this season, obviously, I think we could all look back at that 2 weeks stretch and say, what if? Like Aaron said, a lot of people are doing that right now. And it's easy to see that when our biggest rival is in the college football playoff. However, that game did not go well for us at all. And it's not like we were right there with them. We were right with them for one half.
Yeah.
And then they pulled far away from us. So that what if is kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like pissing in the wind, I think.
Hey, to me, the one that bothers me the most is probably the Marshall game, right? Because we literally just gave that away.
Yeah, we did, because if I remember correctly, we outgained them, right? We gave them the ball inside the 40 like four times. Like, we just made it too easy for them to win that game. But even if we win that game, we're still in second.
Still in the same spot.
And we're not playing in the conference title. Maybe we get a slightly better bowl, but all in all, the season ends pretty similarly. The only difference is 11 wins are possible instead of 10. That's really the only main difference for me. I'm really proud of this unit, both defensively and offensively. I kind of want to talk about our favorite moments this season, because there's a lot of great moments within this year. I'll let Aaron start off.
Man, there are so many. I would like to say the road trips that we took together. Oh, our record in cold trips is not good, no matter what type of shoes we're wearing. Are they the Hey Dudes that Ricky called out? Or they? It doesn't matter what it is. So I had a lot of fun traveling with you guys, as always, and look forward to doing so in 9 days. Again, I think favorite for me is this team is closer to each other and more people made impacts, more of our players made impacts as a whole than I can remember in a very long time, if ever, to be honest. Complete team effort, guys stepping up left and right, kind of stories of underdogs, like talking to Seth's parents last week before the game, and about how just not that long ago he had no idea or inclination that he was ever going to play football again, and how the stars align and how things just happen. And that guy, the Monarchs are not 9-3 with a chance to win 10 games without Seth Nautala having the season that he had, both on the field and in the locker room. Like, there are so many of those. They're the Zach Barlev who comes last year and could have gone to just about any place he wanted to go to this year. But he loved being here. He loved this team. He stuck around. And what an impact on the field and off the field. There's so many of those stories. And I think that's what my favorite moment, or kind of my favorite thing about this team in the season.
All right, Justice.
On a personal level, I would say the Marshall trip, right? Like, just being able to go to Marshall, go to the cemetery, see the memorial, you know, get to, you know, learn about Huntington, you know, get to enjoy Russ's hospitality. That was, on a personal level, that was probably the highlight for me. But on a team level, I would say the Troy game. Like, that was just, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's, you know, it's Military Appreciation Week. You got the drone show. We're on ESPN. You know, we had Matt Barry on campus. The campus was electric. And then to go out and perform the way we did on national TV, like, you couldn't have written that script any better than the way it played out, I think. So that's probably the highlight for me on the season.
All right. So on a similar note, I'm going to go two directions here. Obviously, I'm going to start with football on the field. So on the field, it's finally getting a P4 win on the road. That is huge. It's something we've all been waiting for, and it's really cool that it happened against Tech. Now we got to beat some other P4, because we have our three wins against Virginia Tech now, and it's awesome. We got a road win. We got our two home wins, but I think our next thing we need to pass with the P4 is beating a different school. But off the field, there are so many moments of the season that made me thankful for Old Dominion and the community we're kind of helping build around us. The watch parties have been awesome, meeting all these great Old Dominion fans. The Marshall trip was great. My favorite moment of that is actually going to the hotel afterwards and watching the Cubs with the Barlows. Like,
yeah, and you stealing a burrito.
That's right. Eating Taco Bell.
And I were so hungry.
Jared, I was told to eat that burrito by multiple people.
That's true. That's you. You definitely were offered that burrito.
But let me finish. I have all these moments throughout the season I can look back on that we've, like last week after the Georgia State game, me and a couple buddies, we went up to Kogan's. We run into Shane and his family there. I ended up playing pool with Shane and his two young kids.
Two of the coolest kids in the world, by, you know, to be honest.
And I'm thinking, like, well, without my relationship with Aaron, the podcast and all this stuff, that moment to bond with those kids and Shane and his wife are not possible. So it's just things like that where it just makes me really thankful for Old Dominion and kind of what's going on right now. And obviously, if we don't win that game, no one's out at Kogan's having a post-game pizza and a beer. Like, I don't know. Very thankful for Old Dominion right now and the football season we had and all the people that have kind of come into our lives and helped make our days a little bit brighter. So that includes you, Justice, and your.
It is. But, you know, it's funny, Mike. We've talked so many times about how Old Dominion is a big school, not a huge school, but a big school, but has a small feel. And if you want to get involved, it's very easy to do so. And so you talk about the opportunity of meeting Shane and getting to know Mariah and the kids and those sort of things. And then, but Justice, I mean, we go back quite a while. Like we used to play softball against each other with like years ago, going back 10 years.
Yeah. Even before like our kids.
Yeah. I mean, our kids have been in school together since like second grade.
Yep.
But with everything going on with ODU and the podcast and everything, kind of we've all come together on a much deeper level and building, you know, friendships and family and those sorts of things. I was just having a conversation with my mom earlier today about how my close friends and the things that are the people who are important to me for the most part these days revolve all around Old Dominion, whether they're you guys who I, you know, talk with and do things together with on a daily basis, or it's people I meet at games, too many people to start naming names, but it's like, it's kind of my social world revolves around the people that I've met at ODU, and I didn't even go to ODU. So pretty cool.
Well, I appreciate you guys like giving me the opportunity to come here and talk about ODU. So I don't get after, I don't talk about it on my own podcast and get accused of being a homer too much. it gives me a good outlet to like get my ODU thoughts out there without bombarding my podcast with a lot of ODU talk.
Awesome. Thank you both. And thank all the Old Dominion fans that have kind of welcomed us in and been kind to us over the years. Very appreciative of all of you. I do want to, before we move on, I do want to talk about how badly, because Aaron briefly mentioned it, how badly Vegas and the rest of the Sun Belt missed on this team.
Yeah.
I mean, this Old Dominion team was picked fifth in the East. They missed the boat on us big time.
They got a lot wrong here.
Like the West is like the worst. The West was even worse, right? Like 5 and 6 were the two best teams, and number 2 was like near the bottom. Like,
I do gotta give them credit. They got the two obvious teams in last right.
Well, yeah.
I thought you were gonna say they got the number 1 team right. Or they're gonna have that team number 1 until they're not number 1. Like there's not much of a thought process. And next year, I'm sure they'll have JMU in number 1 either. I mean, Bobby Wilder could be coaching up there. I could be coaching. Aaron Zielinski could be coaching JMU in the preseason coaches poll, we would be number one.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we take a brief moment for Afterglow? We'll come back, talk about bowl season, some Sun Belt coaching changes, signing day, and we'll be right back. It's bowl season. Obviously, Old Dominion is going to be playing USF in the Cure Bowl, but we're seeing a lot of announcements come out. And right now, this is the case. So, we obviously get to South Florida, but kicking off the Sun Belt Bowl season will be Troy versus Jacksonville State in the Salute the Veterans Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. The first thing I saw with this bowl game was Troy fans were kind of annoyed at this selection. But as a kind of a party that has no real connection to this other than the Sun Belt, this is a cool bowl game. Like, this is a rivalry game in Alabama between two Alabama teams. Could be a lot of fun.
Maybe they're mad because they're probably – I think they're probably going to lose to Jacksonville State. That's probably why they're mad.
Or, I mean, this is a game that probably should be played annually in non-conference play, in my opinion.
Yeah, could be.
If I was Troy, I'd probably try to build, like, maybe you play UAB every year, play Jacksonville State every year, you play an FCS, and then you try to play one of the power teams in the South. That should be your non-conference schedule every year.
Timing-wise, it's good.
It is. I think one thing we could talk about is for Old Dominion and for Troy and Louisiana and Arkansas State, is playing a bowl early before the portal opens minimizes the impact of opt-outs.
Yeah.
Because the closer you are to January 1st, the more likely guys are going to opt out.
100%.
And it gives guys an opportunity to kind of, I guess, one last chance to show out, so to speak. So, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys that are going to be in the portal that need tape, whether that's practice tape or game tape, and this is their opportunity to get that. Next game I'll talk about, the Ventures Bowl. Louisiana plays Delaware in Mobile, Alabama. Kind of feel bad for Delaware fans to have to make that long trip on a Wednesday to Mobile to play basically a team that's almost at home.
I don't know. Maybe they feel first time these guys get one, they're more apt to travel since it's the first. Yeah. So we'll send them on the road.
Perhaps. It should be interesting to see how Delaware shows out in that one.
Yeah.
Should be a good game.
Next is a brand new bowl, the Xbox Bowl. This is formerly our favorite bowl game, former Bahamas Bowl.
It's like the Chameleon Bowl. Bahamas, Famous Toastery, Xbox. I'm almost curious what is going to be next.
It's now at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. We all remember the Ford Center at the Star from Conference USA basketball tournament days.
Curtain time, man.
But yeah, that's a pretty good, fun game. Missouri State, Arkansas State, a potential future rivalry. Because neighboring states, right?
Geography is not my strong suit. We'll go with yes.
All right. We'll skip the CFP for now. Obviously, congratulations to James Madison, but we can talk about that later. Southern Miss in New Orleans playing one of our old buddies, Western Kentucky. another fun matchup. We don't know who's going to be in the Boca Bowl yet. I believe Toledo has accepted. And I assume it'll be Georgia Southern, but we haven't seen an announcement yet. But this is one of our Sun Belt Bowls, so I'm just assuming that'll be Georgia Southern versus Toledo.
Hey, before you go on to the next one, Mike, does Southern Miss still have a coach?
They don't.
I wonder, like, are they going to suffer the same fate, like, in terms of, like, people just saying, oh, well, he's gone, we're done, we don't want to play.
Like what happened to Marshall last year?
Exactly.
We have two teams in a row where the players have opted out. Like, this is it's almost like Linus. Is it Linus? No, Pigpen. Where you got the stench that's, like, following. Like, this is the second season in a row where they've qualified for a bowl and his team has not been able to play.
Yeah. We can talk more about coaching changes in a minute, but Huff is not. He's becoming, like, enemy number one in the Sun Belt. Absolutely. 1 year at Southern Miss. I mean, I guess they could be thankful for him turning them around pretty quickly and getting them on a good footing. But if you guys are right and a lot of guys transfer out, they could be right back to where they were when they hired him.
So it looks like the Boca Raton Bowl is not Georgia Southern. Looks like it's Louisville versus Toledo.
Wow. Toledo gets a tough matchup there.
Yeah.
And their coach just took a new job, didn't he?
Toledo, yep. He's going to Connecticut.
Yep.
Isn't Louisville the one team that beat JMU?
Yep.
They're not a bad team.
No, they're not. They have some talent.
Next is Coastal Carolina versus Louisiana Tech in Shreveport. I imagine both programs here might be a little disappointed for a future conference matchup. Maybe Louisiana Tech's happy because they're playing so close to home. But I wouldn't be excited to play a team you're going to be playing in conference very soon.
I mean, at least Louisiana Tech will be in the West. So yeah. You might not get them for a couple years.
Yeah.
And so,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, so Brett McMurphy is saying Georgia Southern is going to be in the Birmingham Bowl versus whatever 5-7 team the NCAA can get. First, I guess the first right of refusal is Baylor, and then it goes to Rutgers.
So they're going to get a P4 matchup likely.
Yeah.
That's good for Georgia Southern. It seems kind of weird considering their season.
Yeah.
And they get a beatable P4.
Yeah, especially if it's Rutgers. Like, I don't think they have a chance against Baylor, but Rutgers, I could see them beating. Well, I don't know. Their defense is so bad. It's going to be a tough challenge for Georgia Southern, I think, regardless of who they play.
And finally, the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas, will be between Texas State and Rice.
That timing is terrible.
Absolutely terrible. You do not want to be playing in a bowl game when the portal is – because it opens that
day. I think that day.
Yeah.
Could be.
You imagine all the saved draft tweets and Insta posts and face messages?
Could be rough. But, I mean, I think no one would be upset if Texas State lost. They're leaving the conference. We do not care what they do.
I mean, at least, like, they're not losing their coach, right? Like, if you think if they had lost G.J. Kenny, like, it would have been bad for the bowl game. So, you got that. Yeah.
Who's going to – he's been disappointed. Like, I don't know. He raised the bar there, but he just raised it to mediocrity.
I don't disagree with you. But, like, he's always – he always seems to be the hot name every preseason, right? Like, this is the guy to look out for. And then it seems like his teams do nothing but disappoint based on what the expectations are.
Yeah. It is what it is. So long, Texas State. I'm very happy that you had the struggling year that you did in this Sun Belt. You will not be missed. All right. So, since we talked briefly about the coaching changes, a couple we got to talk about. I guess we glossed over JMU in the college football playoffs, so maybe we should touch on that first.
Congratulations. Get better aim with snowballs. If you're going to throw them, at least hit somebody.
Well, here's, Like, they act so high and mighty when the App State did it to them, right? And then they turn around and, like, do the same exact thing. So, like, that yeah. part is what bothers me more.
They're Harrison big bird snowballs. They don't hurt, man.
It's kind of why I don't bother getting into those types of things with fans. We all have parts of our fan base that will do stupid things.
Yep.
Yeah.
So don't judge others on it, because you don't know what you're going to be doing in the same position. Especially when you got young students who might be imbibing before a game. Dumb things might happen. So maybe just don't judge others for the same things that you could possibly do in the future. Maybe this is a learning moment for James Madison fans. Who knows?
I'm just more shocked that there was not a penalty called.
Yes, yes. Like, yeah, it seemed like they got warned enough times. There should have been.
Yeah.
Because there were discussions pregame. So that was – I found that interesting.
My big question after the game was, how bad was the West for that to be the representative? We saw how bad their O-line was when we played them.
Yep. I mean, Southern Miss just, like, collapsed at the end of the year. Like, I mean, all they had to do was win one of three games, and they lost all three.
I mean, they couldn't block at all. I mean, how many rushing yards did they have? Like, negative two. Yeah, remember that coming up late in the game. I don't know what the final number was, but it was a brutal – like, they couldn't run the ball at all. Late in the game, they couldn't protect at all. Like, their quarterback's getting hit.
Well, when Goose Crowder got down, like, when he got hurt, that was really – I mean – they weren't playing great before that, but when he got hurt, that was really the nail in the coffin, so to speak.
But they couldn't block for Kilcrease. I mean, they couldn't block at all. He had zero time to do anything.
Yeah, they Sahir West had a field day.
They got negative 26 rushing yards. Now, 46 of those were the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not so good. That defense, I mean, hey, like him or not, man, that defense is really good.
Yeah, so, and we won't have to see Sahir West anymore, because pretty sure on the broadcast they said he was going to UCLA with Chesney.
Yeah, so congratulations to James Madison. I do worry about two G5s getting in because the ACC sucks and how that will impact the G6 moving forward.
They'll create some crazy rules.
Change the rules.
Prevent that from, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, all right, we can have this moment where we're excited that two G6s get into the playoff. But then now we have to worry about how this will impact all the G6s moving forward.
Yep.
Just because you'll rue the day. You'll rue the day.
Just because UVA couldn't take care of business.
Right. And, oh, man, that was – I mean, that's talk about the ACC game. But what a collapse that was by Duke in the last, I don't know, 3 minutes.
1 minute.
It was a master class in how to suck. Like, it was so bad.
And that was just an ugly game. Like, it's hard to watch. Like, it was not good football by either team.
I don't think either team's very good. I mean, personally, I think JMU beats them both. I mean, Tulane already beat Duke once, but yeah.
All right. Well, good luck to James Madison and the rest of the Sun Belt teams other than Texas State in bowl season. But coaching changes. Obviously, the team we just talked about, pretty massive one. Bob Chesney's going to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's replaced by Sun Belt Billy. Billy Napier is coming back to the league. Should be interesting to see how that plays out, because this is the first time James Madison, they kind of had a trend of what they did.
Yep.
They hired guys that had success at the FCS level, that maybe had some experience as a coordinator at the Power Four level. And they made them the next guy. They're going away from that and hiring a retread. Very good retread.
Who had tons of success in the Sun Belt and recruiting in the Sun Belt. Albeit a different geographical location, but
also
lots of success.
Also, before the East got really expanded with Marshall, Old Dominion, and James Madison. So a very different Sun Belt.
Yeah.
I think I saw his record against App, who we can all agree was kind of – them and Coastal were kind of the two best East teams before all these other teams joined. Yeah. His record against App is 0-4. So who knows how he does against this new Sun Belt.
Yeah. Completely different haircuts, man. Those are two different dudes.
They are. I'm really interested to see how this plays out because obviously until James Madison's taken down a notch, they are the standard bearer right now. And until we break that seal against them again, we have to give them the respect that they deserve. But who knows how this plays out?
For me, it's like the fan, and we have fans like the same way, right? ODU does too. But it's some of their fans that kind of make it intolerable. But I know we have the same thing on our side. So,
all right. Next coaching change we'll talk about. One that we kind of saw coming, Aaron. Tim Beck.
Yeah.
I actually thought it happened earlier in the year and just didn't realize it.
You saw it coming, man. Whether it happened 2 weeks later, doesn't matter. 3 weeks later,
Before the season, I thought he had the hottest seat. Once they got to the six wins, though, I was mildly surprised that they did it at that point.
I haven't checked any rumors on who they're looking to hire. Have you guys seen anything?
No, I haven't. I would have thought Billy Napier would have been like number one on their list, but obviously he's off the board. So,
I mean, he may have been, but if you're Billy Napier,
where you got
those two choices, which one are you jumping on?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next? I'm trying to draw a blank here.
Charles Huff.
Southern Miss goes to Memphis. They're back to where they were this time last year, looking for the next guy. Will Hall is available.
I wonder if they will look at Jerry Mack, Kennesaw State. Or, you know, better yet, I think I told you guys this, or maybe I just told Aaron, but I think they might just stay in-house with offensive coordinator Blake Anderson, right? He's a former head coach in the Sun Belt, was at Utah State too, so I could see them going that route as well.
Sorry, I'm looking at an article about Coastal's search, and Mike Farrell has four names. I don't know how old this is because I believe one of these guys has already been taking another job. Did Ryan
Beard like, hey guys, come on?
Ryan Beard is still available.
Free hot dogs and popcorn. That includes coaches as well.
So they got Ryan Beard from Missouri State, Jeremiah Johnson, the DC from Coastal, Mac Lefwich, Texas Tech's offensive coordinator. And then Casey Woods, who is the offensive coordinator at SMU, all as potential new hires for Coastal.
Interesting name list of names there.
I'm looking at Southern Miss right now.
I mean, Blake Anderson's got to be probably number one. Jerry Mack's probably number two. Because I think the Memphis job was between Charles Huff and Jerry Mack.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go. Because
that sucks to have to hire a coach 2 years in a row.
It does, but
Kennesaw State, at least they won the Conference USA Championship.
But they're also in a much better position to hire than they were this time last year because they're coming off a better season.
That's true.
They show it's possible to win at Southern Miss now. I feel like they might end up with a better hire long term.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll see. Because, I mean, they're a good football program, good support, but we'll see what happens. Any other potential changes? I don't know what – is Georgia State going to give Dell another year?
I think Dell gets another year. Yeah,
they should.
And Helton, I think, you know, they fired, the DC and some other position coaches. I think, you know, when that happens, that's usually a sign that, like, hey, you know, like the head coach is going to stay. So I don't think Helton's going to go anywhere.
But it's a sign that if Helton doesn't win next year, they will fire him.
He's it's gone. The canary in the coal mine.
Yeah. You better figure it out fast or you're gone.
Yes.
And then if we're talking about coaches, it hasn't – I imagine any time now an extension for Ricky Ronnie will need to be announced.
It has to happen.
Right.
It has to.
He can't be going around being a dead man walking, so to speak, right?
No, it makes too much sense. And we've responded to dozens of internet questions and comments, a lot of it leading up to the Virginia Tech rumors of him joining James Franklin and Virginia Tech and all that stuff, and talking about how one, that makes no sense. It never did. It still doesn't. It's not going to happen. But two, this is Ricky getting an extension, which I would be shocked if he didn't. I think it just, it's inconceivable if it doesn't happen. Is the absolute best thing that could happen to this program. What happened this year, the success that the program has recently had, and I know, Mike, we're going to talk a little bit about signing day and the continuation of what the staff has been doing, the absolute best thing for Old Dominion football to happen. So who knows when or whatever, but it has to happen.
I mean, we hit on it earlier in the season, preseason, that the best thing for Old Dominion moving forward is he has a successful season and gets an extension. And we talked about it on that hot seat episode we did with our buddy David Asbury. I still feel that way because the way that he manages our NIL budget is about as good as you can expect. And what he's doing with the JUCOs and the high school recruits, increasing that recruiting staff was a beautiful decision last year, and it's bearing fruit the last two seasons. Obviously, Ja'Cory and Trey were amazing additions. But if you look at this receiving core he signed out of high school this year and out of JUCO, we might have an even better receiving unit coming in. If you look at our top rated recruits ever, most of them are in the last two classes. Like, it's things are headed in the right direction.
100%. And they did a phenomenal job on the offensive line in this last recruiting class too.
Yeah. If you haven't looked at this recruiting class, join the collective, join the Pride of ODU. Check it out. We have the churn is going. It's active. It's ready for the portal.
Like some butter, man.
And then we have another page that breaks down all of our recruits and their offers and where they're from and all that. Well, we're going to continue to add to that. I'm planning on adding everyone's highlight, a link to all their highlights in there. I just need to have some time to do it. It's going to continue to get better, this information. So join the Pride of ODU and go check that out at theprideofodu.com under recruiting. A lot of good information there.
It's hard not to say that C word now, isn't it, Mike, after a few years?
It is. We need a new word. I don't know what it is yet.
You do.
Still waiting on it, but the money, if you want to join the Pride of ODU, it still supports the same way it did before. It's going to the athletes. And coming off a 9-1 season, we need the money more now than ever. Cue the Sarah McLachlan music. We need your support.
Yes.
Because the portal does loom. And whether we lose guys, we're going to need to pay some dudes to stay for retention. And we're going to need to attract some guys with, you know, it is what it is. Either way, I'm so stoked about this signing class.
Yeah. They did a great job filling, like, needs and backfilling, you know, areas where, you know, maybe they think we might lose some folks. And so, yeah, they did a phenomenal job at that.
And if you look at the numbers, they're clearly planning on positions they know they usually get hit hard on. So, like, we have a bunch of safeties already signed and ready to go. That, you know, every year we get hit hard at the safety position in the portal. And Remington Repstock continues to knock it out of the park with the way he identifies talent and puts them in a position to contribute to the team. So
be successful.
Yeah.
And then Cody Cook, I'm really happy we have him as our receiver coach. He has done a phenomenal job at that position since he's come on board. And he also has planned for some attrition. If you just look at the numbers, we got 7 receivers coming in. We don't really have any leaving yet, but you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he brought in some studs.
He did. First guy I would probably mention is J.J. Harrell. He's a JUCO recruit. I think he's the second highest rated receiver in this class.
Zion, right?
Zialis Blackman? Is that who?
No, I was thinking.
Oh, he was about Agnew.
Yeah, the former ECU kid.
Yeah, Zion is a talented kid. I could see him as a kick returner. Could see him in the slot. We'll see how he comes. But two really, really good high school recruits at the receiver position as well. And Silas Blackman, and I'm drawing a blank on the other kid's name.
The other one's the quarterback, right? That plays quarterback?
No.
I'm trying to think. The kid that plays quarterback in high school is going to play receiver for us.
No, I know. I'm just saying he's not one of the highest rated kids.
Gotcha.
I love to continue to see that pipeline, that southern pipeline, you know, down in Mississippi. And we've had a lot of success lately with the student athletes that are choosing to come up to Virginia from that area. Mike, you look like you found something.
Yeah, the other kid I was trying to think of was BJ Bedgood. He's from Alabama, which hits on your whole southern trend of going down. Him and Zylus Blackman, two of our highest rated receivers, recruits we've ever signed. Same class. JJ Harrell, Mississippi JUCO. Another kid who comes from that deep south area. I mean, we're doing awesome out in that region, and it's clearly going to have a good impact on us because once we started hitting on those Mississippi and Alabama kids, our football team got better.
You're right. And on the all-conference name team, going west a little bit to Texas, Shaq Leaks. Got to be digging that name. Anybody with that name's got to be a good ball player.
I wrote a little bit about him on Behind the Shield. That kid is a lockdown defender. He's going to be playing safety here, but I think they only threw to him, the guy he was covering all year, 21 times, and he allowed 2 receptions. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Brooklyn Nace, quarterback with a big arm, continues our trend of getting talented high school quarterbacks into the fold at Old Dominion, which if we look back a few years, we had those starting out. We struggled to get a high school quarterback in. They continued to get flipped, right? And that delayed our ascent to where we think we should be. We finally land one with Colton Joseph. Now we know what that impact is down the line, right? We have Quinn Hennickel the year after him. We now know that impact down the line. Ryan Huff last year. It's continuing a progression where we're going to have other guys ready to go when the portal does hit us at that position. And then we talk every year, people complain about the lack of in-state recruits, right? I think we have like 10 guys from either DMV or Virginia this year.
We got a stallion, man. I'm digging it, being a Green Run guy myself.
But Oscar Smith and Green Run are the two really local guys.
Yeah, CJ Jackson, talented running back from the area. I think he was the 4th rated running back in the state. Really good recruit to get on board. And then obviously Dory is the guy that Justice talked about from Oscar Smith, D tackle. We love our local guys in the trenches. So happy to have him on board. I also think it's cool that we've got another guy from Huff High School in North Carolina. Ladarian Merritt, mentor, obviously really early impact player for us as a true freshman. We get another in Chris Hilliard. And I want to add, Jackson Forrest is a childhood friend with Ladarian mentor. So kind of the same area, both impact freshmen, right? So going back to that area and getting another 3-star recruit from Huff High School is pretty cool.
Another PA linebacker too in Landon.
Yeah. There's a lot to like about this class. Simple as that. Check it out, prideofodu.com. Send us any questions or comments, anything you're looking for with recruiting information that we're not delivering and we can enhance this. We're ready to do that for you. All right, what's next?
Hit most of it, man. Now, we're not going to dig into the bowl game per se, but we probably should talk a little bit about it, where it's at. It's kind of the details. And so if folks are planning, let's just like spend a couple minutes on that and what our plans are and maybe help some folks out.
So next week we will do a preview of the bowl game against South Florida, but let's talk about some things you could sign up for to make your trip to the bowl game better. Obviously the team hotel is the Renaissance at SeaWorld. So if you want to be near Old Dominion fans and staying with Old Dominion fans, try to get a room there. Me and Aaron have experience when we went down for Pensacola, how much better the experience was being in the team hotel.
It's pretty cool.
Yep.
It is pretty cool. Because not only do you have the team that you'll run into in the elevators or as they're going to get food, but also staff, Old Dominion staff, ODAF, all the various folks. And just being on the road is a different experience than being at home and running into them. So there are other hotels that are real close as well, but it looks like they're all basically the same price. But the earlier you book them, probably the better.
Secondly, the Alumni Association has done an amazing job at bowl games hosting tailgates. And they have a tailgate set up for this year. You can find it at odualumni.org, I believe is the website, where you can sign up for the tailgate. It runs from 1 to 5. So it's a longer tailgate than we're probably used to, or you're getting a full 4 hours from the alumni versus I think their stuff on campus is usually a little bit more abbreviated than that.
Yeah, I think so. So you can find the link on social media. They've sent emails out. What I'll say is they have two packages. They have the $30 package and they have the $50 package. The $50 package is unlimited food, unlimited drinks. Alcoholic, non-alcoholic, everything. You go in and you can just consume, eat your heart out. The food has been, really good in the past. Good,
yep.
Or you can do the $30 package, which is unlimited food and unlimited non-alcoholic drinks. So soda, water, both great deal. It's
it's a great time, man. And you get swag too. They always have some pretty cool swag to give out. So yeah, we've been
to the last couple of them, but Charlotte and
Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. So
comparing those two, worth it. I mean, everyone might have their favorite of those two games, the pregame tailgate. I thought they did a great job with both. Yep. The Myrtle Beach one was right next to the stadium, and that location was perfect. Before you had to figure out the weird ingress to the stadium.
How to get to your seat.
Yeah.
But both years have been fantastic. It's my favorite part is just meeting other fans that haven't had a chance to meet before. And with this game being in Orlando, we're going to get some Florida alums and Georgia alums that might be in town that we've never met before. So I'm excited for the opportunity to meet some ODU fans we've never had a chance to meet.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
So if you do make the trip and you make it to the tailgate and you see us, come say hi. We'd love to meet you. Make this
what's the other thing? Airfare. So depending on where you're coming from. I mean, if you're coming from Norfolk, there are a lot of flights. There are a lot of flights that go to Orlando. Most of the ones that we saw tended to have one stop, either in Atlanta or maybe BWI.
If you're looking for economical, like Breeze is the cheapest one, but the only problem is I think you have to leave out Monday, so you have to stay an extra, probably extra night that you didn't plan in a hotel. But Breeze has, I think, a direct flight Monday and coming back on Thursday. Southwest has some direct flights too.
So, Justice, are you saying that the savings are worth an extra night's hotel?
No.
Because you'd spend the same amount of money probably, right?
Right. And, I mean, well, by the time you pay for the extra night in the hotel, I mean, so Breeze was $200. Most of the others, whoever it was like $500. So, you're going to spend at least 150 of that, savings on a hotel night, right? So,
and then food.
And then food. So you're really not.
And if you got a rental car, it would be an extra day. What I will say is be careful when you're looking at the direct flights with Southwest or the cheaper flight with Southwest, as Mike and I found out that on the return trip, your return trip, one of those flights is not on Southwest. Is it on Spirit?
Yeah, and that's why it was so much cheaper than the other flights because they're putting.
And Mike said, "Are you, Aaron? You want to? You okay with flying on Spirit?" And I was like, "Oh hell no!"
Yeah.
So we went with a little bit more expensive flight on Delta. I think Delta and American were right at like the same prices.
The only other thing
it wasn't significantly more expensive though.
The only other thing I would mention is there were some weird connections on some of these flights.
Yeah, like going to LaGuardia to go to Florida.
There was another one that was at Logan.
Oh yeah. Do you get really a lobster roll?
Well, do you really want to fly into Boston in the winter and potentially get delayed and stuck in Boston?
Get to Orlando from Norfolk.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to get stuck in Boston while they're trying to get to Florida or get back from Florida. So just be careful when you're looking at those connectors.
Yeah.
You want Atlanta, Charlotte, somewhere in the south where weather isn't going to be as likely to occur.
Yeah.
As for seats, I believe we're in 132 to 135. Old Dominion has some links out there, but you could just go to the Bull site and buy from them. I did see there were some great packages if you're buying two tickets or more. Like there's if you buy 134, I think it's two tickets for $390, and you get all food and beverage included as well.
Yeah, they have like sweet stuff. They have ground level suites. They've got regular tick. They've got all kinds of different, you know, packs.
Yeah, so check it out. Make sure you come see us if you see us. We're excited for this one.
I think one of the emails even said that there is a post-game event, like a post-game party or something at one of the local restaurant. I can't remember what it is, but check those emails that are coming out for you. And if not, then just go on to whatever your favorite social media site is. ODU is putting a lot of stuff out with regards to the bowl game and accommodations.
And we had a brief discussion with someone Old Dominion before we recorded today. If you're worried about the opt-outs and portal, and that's kind of making you not want to go to this game because you saw Colton Joseph opted out, I would not put much weight into that, because from what we've been told, he is the only opt-out at this point.
At this point, but yes.
Obviously, there's some guys banged up and they might not play, but we're going to have basically everybody except for him at this point in time. We'll update you if that changes, but that's huge.
That's one of the benefits of having an early bowl game, too. One of the earlier bowl games.
Yeah, and we hinted on that earlier, but that's why we hit it on it, because we know we're going to basically have everyone available for this game.
That's important because USF is a good team. I know we're not going there. That's next week's show, but they're a good ball club. So it should be a good time. If you haven't been to a bowl game, it's just being on the road is just different.
Yep.
You have different interactions with everybody. So if you have the disposable income to be able to do it, if you can get off of work, man, let's do it. Let's go. Let's have some good times.
I mean, I've only been to two Old Dominion bowl games. I did not get to go to the Bahamas. Obviously, Charlotte, we lost in a terrible way. And then we got our butts kicked in Myrtle Beach. But I don't regret going to either bowl game. I had a lot of fun. Got to meet a lot of great Monarchs. And it's just a great experience. So I wouldn't let the results impact your decision-making much. It's going to be a fun time.
Sweet.
Right. Got any closing thoughts for us, Aaron?
I don't think so, man. Hopefully the internet's decent so you can check on the score of the JMU basketball game, which it will be being played simultaneously. But I'm stoked.
I guess that would be one of my closing thoughts is Sunbelt stop booking conference games in December during bowl season.
Especially like yes. Against your biggest rival.
If you're going to do it, make sure it's against the other division.
Yeah.
Make it East-West games. If we miss a game against ULM, no one's crying about it. But we have a home game against our biggest rival while students are gone and our team is at a bowl. Like, that could have been avoided easily.
It's like whoever's making that decision is going, how could I make the absolute worst possible logistics, you know, it is their rival. The students aren't there. It's in the middle of the week. Could be during a bowl game. But maybe they figured, you know, the coach's pulse, how far down we were. They're like, they won't be in a bowl game anyways. Terrible.
Yeah, this was easily avoidable. I don't think we should really play JMU until February.
Heck yeah, that game could be those two games can be 2 weeks apart.
Yeah, rivalry games should be played when students are on campus.
Yep.
You could even have us play Georgia State in December. Like, just not JMU. Like, there's just one game you can't play in December. That's all we're asking.
Yeah.
All right. 100%.
Well, sorry to leave the show on a sour note.
That's not sour. That's the truth.
We can't wait to see everyone in Orlando, but tune in next week. We will be previewing the South Florida game. Thanks for joining us today. We are the Monarchists. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.